Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it.
Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
Sorry about that, man.
Hey, man, listen, it happens, man. A minute and 20 seconds in, man, y'all figured out. We ain't gonna edit it. We're gonna leave it just like that, too. So, like, ain't nobody gonna go back in and be like, man, what was happening for those first minute and a half? Nah, we gonna just let that ride, man. But y'all already know who it is, man. It's the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon.
This is Sam.
That's Sam, you know. Drinking a Dr. Pepper as we speak. You know what I mean? We hit him, came over to the other side.
Absolutely not. Bro, I did not know so many people drink Dr. Pepper, bro.
No, I'm one of them people.
You one of those people too?
Yeah, man. I throw it in some rum. You know what I mean? Like, again, I just drink it straight. I like a Dr. Pepper every now and then.
Shit is amazing, bro. Shit is amazing. I did not know this many people drunk Dr. Pepper, bro. This is...
Now, when you said it, I thought you thought, like, you was going to have a whole lot of allies, and what happened was it, like...
Yeah,
was like,
it turned on me quick.
Yeah, it turned quick. I was like, nah, I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it for the podcast. You know what I mean? I'm going to make sure that he knows that I am a Dr. Pepper drinker as well.
I didn't know you was a Dr. I didn't know all these people were Dr. Pepper drinkers, bro. I'm like, shit blew my mind, bro. Shit blew my mind. Gotta be honest with you. I guess them 25 flavors are actually good to people. So.
Hey man, it's a lot of different flavors. It's a party in your mouth, man. You should try it.
Nah, I'm good. But y'all go ahead. Y'all have at that.
Hey man, if y'all have not clicked the subscribe button, man, go ahead and click the subscribe button. Yes, cake. Yeah, say I'm in there caking, man. Yeah. But if y'all haven't, man, click the subscribe button, man, and go ahead and that was Sam. We caught it live. You know.
Oh yeah.
Yes, bro. I was like, you couldn't hear me tell the audience that Sam was out here caking. Let's listen in. And we all got quiet and listened to you do your thing. It was a work of art, I tell you. I understand you. He was like, listen, probably going to be over with by 6, you know what I mean? You come slide through like 6:15, you know what I mean? You'll be right there ready when I get off. I understand. Now, we respect it. We respect the game, definitely. Yeah, we definitely respect
that. I did
game.
Not know y'all could hear that. That's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, no, we all heard that, man. All right. But listen, man, definitely y'all hit the subscribe button, man. We definitely see the numbers moving up, man. We appreciate it. We halfway through to the sevens, man. So let's get that last push, man, to get to the 700s, and we're going to keep climbing, man. Just like Mike Norvell and Florida State Seminoles going with the all-white. First of all, Sam, you like the all-white, right?
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of all-white. So I'm happy they did that. Happy they're doing that. So, yeah.
It's funny, man, because we had heard last year they didn't have the funds and so on and so forth. So I was glad to see them, you know, be able to kind of, you know, I guess better late than never. You know, be able to get
it up, bro. It's nothing wrong with shaking it up. You know what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with shaking it up.
No, you got to. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Like, I think it's a very good idea. I love the uniforms. We're going to see. Yeah, we're gonna see if they play well with it. I guess that's the thing that's interesting to me.
So
I'm wondering
how they play. You excited to watch them play Friday?
I'm more nervous about this game than LSU.
Really?
I think I had this one circled a little bit more than I had LSU, just mm-hmm. because I figured, you know, it's an out of conference game. LSU kind of has our number, or at least lately. You know what
Louisville.
I mean? Our defense,
Louisville.
What I'm saying? Yeah, Louisville has, you know, it's had our number lately, and our defense, man, our defense I'm a little concerned about right now. So I think with those things, I think I had this one being a little bit more on edge than I had for the Louisville game. The Louisville was exciting to win, but I'm excited about seeing how this team is able to compete.
It's crazy because usually I try to make sure we record before all the other podcasts so that way we don't sound like nobody don't feel like we took something from another podcast. So I would try to record early Sunday before everybody do whatever they're gonna do. That way it don't feel like we're biting or anything. So I actually have forgot. Like I guess because of the bye week and I had a week filled with us playing that Sunday, coming back to the bye week, I kind of forgot to record and you know, work and kids and you was out of town and everything. So This is a big game for Adam Fuller, man. This is a big Fuller game. This is a Fuller game. You know.
You think this is Fuller more so than Mike though?
Yeah, I think it is. Well, they're not gonna get rid of Mike anyway. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, if Fuller got established some type of tone on how this defense is gonna be coordinated going forward, and what we can look forward to him going forward, because if he keep letting Scott Satterfield de-pants him every year, it's just not a good look. So this is going to be a big game for Adam Fuller, man. I think he got the pieces to slow this offense down this year. So, you know, I think after this game, we have a better picture of what we got at Adam Fuller, you know?
Yeah, and when you say better pieces, I think you're talking about our linebacker core, right?
Yeah, mainly the linebackers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think with Bethune and DeLoach, you're talking about a huge improvement, right, from where this linebacker group has been. It used to be a case where you knew that quarterback gonna scramble. He can win a game for you by itself. We saw it last year. So right. Now being able to get to a place where you say, all right, our linebacker crew is much better. If they can keep Cunningham from being able to run all over him like he has in years past and then throw the ball whenever he wants to, keep our defense completely off balance, then I do think it's going to look a lot like last year, right? And the years before. Like, for some reason, like I said, Satterfield does have a way with calling it to where we really just don't – I don't want to say we don't look good. It's more of a, like, you know, certain fight, like, styles make fights type of thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Certain teams just don't match up well. That's how it's felt.
It's like Jimbo versus Brent Venables. It's like
– Yeah.
I think when Saban used to go against Gus Malzahn, even though we don't play Gus – you know what I'm saying? Just
– Yeah. Certain teams, certain styles. It gives you a Mike Rich. And so I do think, though, having upgraded linebackers helps with that. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of that was just linebackers didn't have enough speed to get there. Even if they were spying, they couldn't, you know, they were slow. Had some numbers that I ain't going to name, you know, patrolling the defense that didn't help us really. And so I think this year they have a much better chance of being able to slow them down. Now, I guess from an overall standpoint, you got Florida State winning, right?
No, we'll get to that. Let's stay with Fuller, though. So this defense, Louisville's offense going against Malik Cunningham, they got about three playmakers on that team. That tight end looked pretty good to me. Mm-hmm. The wide receivers, they haven't done much. They drop passes, but they are fast. But they don't have, like, that Tutu Atwell type speed guy, so they're not going to, like, you know, blaze you around corners this year. You know what I'm saying? Like the way he did that first year. The first year, it just looked like we were moving in quicksand, dude. I don't know. That was just crazy to me. But so
he made him money that day.
Yeah, he did make some money that day. But and then you got Malik Cunningham, who it looked like the second half of that UCF game. Yeah, that they ran him a little bit more, and they kind of got back to being who they were, like basically running him like damn near every play. And that dude is a fucking weapon, dude. When he get to going, dude, he is fast. Like, remember they used to call him like Lamar Jackson 2.0 and everything? And it sounded kind of crazy, but like he pretty fast, though. He's not Lamar, but I mean,
he close.
They really do resemble each other. Like, it's crazy to go from Lamar Jackson to Malik Cunningham like that.
Yeah, it is. They got two very athletic quarterbacks. Now, the difference between them and Lamar is Lamar's arm strength is way better. Accuracy is way better. You know, he's a much better thrower of the football. Faster. Yeah. Yeah. All of it. Yeah. All of it is better than Cunningham, which is, again, I think you go with the same thing that we saw, you know, Kentucky versus AR, right?
Right.
Put seven, make him throw it to beat you. I will take, if he's able to get these passes off, he's able to, defense rushes in their lanes. This is one of those games where verse can't be wild, you know, around the edge. He lose contain. Cunningham's going to break. And now, you know, if we play a lot of man, so now you're talking about linebackers getting out of position. You're talking about wide receivers being across the field. I think this is a very important game for Jerry Burks.
So that's the biggest problem, right, is because in normal circumstances, you would like to play zone coverage behind.
Yeah.
You would like to play zone with Malik. But this team is not really good at playing zone. They're not good at teaching zone. They're not good at playing zone. So you're going to have to kind of man up a little bit. And that does kind of concern me, that they're going to have to man up. That does concern me.
Maybe this was a real comment, but I think it was, you know, a comment from Coach Satterfield basically saying, you know, kind of challenging the team or whatever. Let's see if they can play a zone almost. You know what I mean? Like, we know when they start looking around or whatever it is, what he was referencing, is essentially when we get in the zone, it's a whole lot of, you know, people looking around. And
pointing fingers.
And he said it, and I thought it was almost like a challenge. Can y'all play zone? The way to beat us is to play zone. I'm going to give it to you.
Right.
Can y'all actually play zone? Because if I can get y'all pointing fingers, I know I can win the game. Yeah. And he's not that far off, because I agree with him, right? If we stay man the whole game, then you're talking about Bethune, and that's putting a lot of pressure on Bethune and DeLoach to have to play almost flawless games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All the defensive line to play flawless games. And I think you're asking a lot from that group. So my thing is, I think you have to mix it up a little bit. I know that may not be what their strength is, but I do think you have to throw some zone in there at times just to keep from letting Cunningham beat you with his legs has in the past.
I mean, they're going to have to play zone, so I think you'll probably see Jamie. Now, this is a game where I wouldn't mind Jamie playing the nickel. I wouldn't mind him around the line of scrimmage a little bit, almost like a third linebacker.
Yep.
I think in this particular game, it'd make a lot of sense in this game. I didn't think it made a lot of sense versus LSU. You know, that's why I think he, you know, didn't have a great, great game against LSU. Cover that reason. But this game, I think you can get away with it because Cunningham isn't that accurate, right? And your pass rush should be able to get to him, and Jamie will be probably a good person to be spying. You know what I'm saying?
You know, 100% agree.
You see what I'm saying? So I think it's like kind of like how they did with Durham with Lamar Jackson that one year, right?
I would just come back with it. Yep.
So that, to me, that'd be the ideal way to defend him, and you can do that. You can do that and probably still play man and get away with it, especially if you want to go with some three down looks. Which I probably will go with some three down looks, because I think that the problem is this. You can go with the three down looks, right? The biggest problem you're going to have, though, is Verse going to play discipline.
If he's
trying to scream off that edge and gives it Malik that edge, then a lot of things you just can't do, right? You're not going to be able to play man. You're not going to be able to play man, right?
Right.
So it really depends on. Verse don't need to show up so much in the stat sheet as much as he need to show up just holding the edge. To me, it's a bridge type of game. Like, if Verse don't want to do the things we need him to do early on, I probably would go with Briggs and McClendon to make sure the defense line is disciplined and situationally playing. I'm speaking in generals here. Like,
My whole thing would be
I would have zero patience for that shit.
It depends on what the game look like, right? If they get out early, they having success, and again, if opening drive is third and seven, Verse get around the edge, Cunningham slips up underneath and takes off for 12 yards and hits and runs out of bounds.
Yeah.
If I'm Fuller, I gotta pull you to the sideline. You know what I mean? Quick. Hey, we gotta have a conversation. We've been working on this all week. You know what I mean? I refuse to believe they're not working on this right now. You know what I mean? Like, somebody ain't telling them this right now. So I know they've been working on it all week.
Right.
So we've been working on this all week.
Right.
We can't have that happen.
Yeah.
Forget the stats. This ain't a game. You ain't going to have 10 sacks. And if you do, great.
Right.
But this ain't a game for 10 sacks.
Right.
Give me a game where you literally just keep him in the pocket.
Push the pocket. What's
going to happen up the middle.
Yeah, push your man.
He gonna end up in some impossible situations, and you will roll into some sacks.
Right.
This ain't the time for you to show off your athleticism. This ain't the game for that.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, can he? You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that will, again, we I didn't realize even until this week, like, Verse could be gone. If he believes he's a top pick, if he believes he's gonna get drafted or whatever it is, these are the type of games, and these are the type of games where you get to show that you're special. I'm more than just I can get around the edge quick rusher. What can I do in situations where I'm not going to get a lot of stats, but I can impact the stats?
Yeah, we need to have one of those Trayvon Walker type games. I'll do that just to mess with you. But anyway,
listen, I was not on board with a lot of other people here in the city of Jacksonville who are now completely on board. And I'm gonna say thank you that he's gotten here. You know what I mean? Like, again, there's certain plays, and then there's
We need to have the type of game where he contain and allow the linebackers to clean up behind him, allow Jamie Robinson to clean up behind him.
Yep.
Can't be about you getting your stats this game. You got to allow the defense to operate in a way where other guys got to make plays. The defensive line have to push the pocket and push him into the floor of the linebackers. And if they can do that, quite frankly, I think you can win the game going away.
Yeah, correct. That's the key.
you know what I'm saying? If you can do that, you can win it going away.
because we haven't talked about the offense yet, because I think that's going to be a lot of success over there. So, but yeah, I agree. I think that's the ball game, right? Mm-hmm. They either win this game going away because they're able to stop that, or they're in a shootout, in my opinion, with a team that probably is not nearly as good.
I'm going to tell you something, though. If they get in a shootout with this team, they're going to be in a little bit of trouble. Not because they can't score with Louisville, but because you get into a home cooking situation,
mm-hmm.
and you allow Satterfield to get deeper into his playbook. So if you let him get into almost 70 plays because y'all going tick for tat, bat for bat, it's just a bad sign. That's a big crowd. That's going
to
be a
lot of
crowd.
Not to mention depth. Depth.
In depth. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to have to get to the – If Deloach and Bethune tied because they've been chasing Cunningham all game on these long drives, you know what I mean?
Five, you get six, a situation where play London's playing more.
Right.
These are things you just don't want to do. So they need to kind of
contain him early,
get up, play with leverage most of the game.
Yep.
I think you can win this game by 5 or 6 points, you know, easily. But you just don't – if the game get into the 30s, I'm going to be a little concerned. If I'm watching the game, 14-17 going into half, you know, we 28-24 going into the fourth, I'm going to be like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay.
Oh, see, all right. Well,
sure. You're
going to be real surprised at my score prediction.
Well, I'm just saying, if we get into them 30s and 40s, I'm going to be concerned thinking, okay, can we hold up, right?
Right. Okay. I'm just letting you know. It's very difficult for me to see really to see Fuller putting together the defense and the defense putting it together this quick. You know what I mean? Again, right. They had a lot they had to clean up. Now, they did have a bye week. They had 2 weeks to prepare for this. You know what I mean? Like, I think it helps us. It definitely helps more than it hurts.
Right.
But, I'm worried about how many points. Like, I think we're scoring well into the 30s. That's my opinion. Right. I'm just not sure that we can keep them out of the 30s as well.
Yeah, well, that'd be a problem. Let's get to the offense, though. Let's get to the offense.
Oh, I mean, for me, it's simple. They one of the worst rush defenses, and we got three running backs who I don't think played well last game, and I think they really are eager to prove that they're better than what they showed against LSU.
So let me ask you a question. Because I was watching UCF, and I actually think that when Gus just kind of turned around and just hand the ball off, it was very hard to run against UCF, right? They had to do some stuff to get to the outside, to the edges. Like, UCF ain't that athletic. I mean, Louisville ain't that athletic on the edges, right? You can kind of beat them to the edge a little bit. Now, granted, I think Louisville does that because they got two very physical corners in Brownlee and that guy Riley, and they do a really good job of run support, right? So they're not as afraid to allow you to get to the edge because they, you know, they got confidence that they safeties and their cornerbacks can clean up, you know what I'm saying? And they run a lot of man. They blitzed a lot against UCF. This is my whole thing. Do you think what we saw against LSU was just, well, LSU just had a very dominant front? Or do you think this is a sign going forward that these running backs are going to need a little bit more time and that this game might be another Jordan Travis game where we got to have Jordan basically go for 260 and run for 60?
No, I think this is a game fully where – actually, I think it's very simple. I think LSU has a very stout defensive line. It was one of the talking points. It was why they said there's no way possible for our defense, for our offensive line to hold up with all those, you know, first round picks and all these guys on it. Mm-hmm. Louisville don't have none of that. Right. Yes, they're athletic. Yeah, they, you know, got some talent or whatever, but they're not, again, just 120. They're 120th ranked. They didn't play, you know, world class running backs.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're talking about their two games were what, UCF and Syracuse. So it's not like they played, you know what I mean, some of the greatest backs out there. So I'm saying if you tell me UCF and Syracuse, based on their run defense, got them at 120th, then give me Trayshawn Ward, give me Benson, give me Toa Philly. I'll take those guys to be able to get to the edge, to be able to hit some of the holes. I think they've spent 2 weeks of looking at real bad film. If I'm the running backs coach, I got a lot of good stuff I can work with. What are you tiptoeing here for? What are you tiptoeing here for? And here's the other thing. They really are in competition with each other. Right? Like, whether they believe it or not, they are in competition with each other. If Ward got it going, Ward's going to get the majority of his carries. If Toa Philly got it going, he gonna get the majority of the carries. It's a quick hook. Benson got a quick hook. He missed that hole early, and we see Benson again to like third, fourth quarter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And because you have a luxury of having Toa Philly and Ward still there. So I think at this point, I do believe these guys can run the football. I think they will run the football. And I think this is the game where you'll see, because like you said, they play some man. This is the game where we can run them off, hit a counter, and somebody can beat to the house. Mm. Yeah, okay. I think you see another game. I think you see at least 150 yards. Like one back goes over 100, another one gets pretty close.
Okay. So probably going to be a trace.
What do you think?
I'm concerned, man. I am concerned because, it's crazy. So I was concerned about some of the pressures on the backs being hit behind line of scrimmage against Duquesne. Remember? I was concerned about it, right? Mm-hmm. Then it kind of reared its head again versus LSU, which we kind of throw that away because we'd be like, well, that's LSU. They got a great front. Everybody's going to have a great front like LSU. All right, cool. Louisville does a lot of run blitzing where they blitz these lanes, crowd the lanes. So I'm a little concerned that the running back won't see the holes, that they're going to miss certain holes, and it becomes a Jordan Travis game, right? And I don't mind it being a Jordan Travis game because I think you still can win that way, but you can't control the game that way, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah. You'll end up with a lot of negative plays counteracted by drives, by Jordan. Yeah, yeah.
Some quick drives, and you putting your defense back on the field. You know what I'm saying? The clock going to be stopping. You kind of want this clock to kind of run, and you want to grind on them. You don't want to be throwing the ball 35 times and trying to supplement. You know what I'm saying? I don't think
that's what they want to do, though. Like, I just don't believe that that's what Mike Norvell wants to do. I think that was a lot of Dillingham last year. Well, we got into those games where Jordan Travis having to throw it 35 times. I think if we have gotten to the place where Jordan Travis is throwing it 35 times, I've said it at the beginning of the season, I'm going to say it now, that is a loss. That is a game that you know what I mean? Like, that means the running game is matter of fact, I'm going to modify that a little bit. It's a potential. It has a greater risk for a loss because, again, Jordan Travis has shown he's a much improved passer. So I want to give him credit for being able, to be a much improved passer. But what I will say is that it feels like it's going to be a loss because that's not what this team, I believe, wants to do. And it's definitely not their identity, right? This team does not want to have Jordan Travis throw the ball 35 times, even if he can throw it 35 times. I think with a lot of man, presents itself because now, again, run blitz, if you pick the wrong hole, you get caught up in the middle, these are house calls, you know what I mean? And I think we will see at least one or two of those house calls, you know what I mean? We didn't see him against Duquesne. We will see him, I think, against Louisville just because of, again, when you send in eight, again, all it takes is for one guy to get that block and it's a wrap, you know what I mean? And we know Louisville, like you said, we'll try to stack it. But the right call at the right time, the right screen call, those can take it, swing pass or whatever it is. I'm not. I promise y'all. Like, I think the least of my concern is Louisville stopping us running the football. I think that's probably the least of my concern.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm concerned about going into the game.
I'm concerned about the running backs as a whole, just because again, I think they've been tiptoeing. A lot of people pointed out they tiptoeed against Duquesne too. They just couldn't. Right. They couldn't pay for it. Exactly. And I'm not sure if Louisville can make them pay for it either.
Well,
that's what
I guess that's where I'm at. Right. I feel that's where we're gonna have this rubber meets the road type situation of the game where we say, okay, what are these running backs? Are they more what we saw against LSU? You know what I'm saying? Because even when I watched Duquesne game, I made certain comments like, okay, I don't know. We're not getting as much push as I thought we would begin against this team. They're getting hit behind the line of scrimmage. They're making heroic plays, but you shouldn't have to be making heroic plays like that against Duquesne. So we'll find out against Louisville. You know what I'm saying? That's the intriguing part of this game that I think is we get more information on the team, as we're watching the team. Like I always say, you don't know what these teams are until week five. You know what I'm saying? Week five, you got to – a clearer picture of what you're looking at. I think people feel like I was listening, like kind of like watching the timelines week, and people keep saying, well, FSU could be like a top 10 team, top 25 team, a top 20 team, top 15 team, because these not all these other teams ain't that good. We really don't know how good we are yet, right?
I was just gonna say, I haven't said a word about whether we, you know what I mean, what we can be. I wanted to see us play in a game. You beat Louisville, I mean, beat LSU. Good.
I mean, even
now
though,
let me see what happens when you experience some success. You're 2-0, everybody happy. I'm sure there's a whole lot of stuff on campus, you know what I mean? When Florida State, you know what I mean, when the players and the team is good, it looks good, you know what I mean? It feels different on campus. You don't have Smooch writing Twitter messages telling the world, you know what I mean, telling the girls to not, you know, like when you get to that place, you know what I mean? It's bad.
Yeah.
But the exact opposite is when you win. You know what I mean? And so how many, like, I'm really worried, or not worried. I'm one of my biggest questions is how does this team handle success? Did they prepare the same way they prepared against LSU when they wanted to send a statement? Are they just as focused? Are they just as locked in? What does Mike feel? You know what I mean? Is Mike cleaned up some of the mistakes he's made? And are they able to get to the thing and do the things that they want to do well? And those are the things I believe if they do, they're a better team than Louisville. Like, you know what I mean? Just hands down, I believe Florida State is a better team than Louisville. Let's see if they can put it together and win.
I think that's the biggest concern. Like, what is the team? How good can the team
and I don't think we know
really
yet.
Be? And I don't think we're going to know, but I think we have a bigger idea, a much better idea by the end of the game. Because, and something else I had to tell somebody was, I thought LSU defense was really good against Florida State. I didn't think they was bad, right?
They were very good, I thought.
I thought Florida State had a great plan. I thought Florida State made some plays. I thought that LSU defense got put in some bad situations, and they got some stops when they needed
to. It took one-handed catches and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? It took big plays to win. Right. Like, Florida State went out and took the win. Like, it wasn't like, you know what I mean? Like, LSU came out and was fooled. No, man. They had to fight for those. They had to fight for those yards. LSU was a good defense.
And Louisville don't play much different, but they don't have the same defensive line.
Nope.
You know, I do like, you know, I know a lot of people say, you know, they don't like Brown. I get it. Whatever. I think they defensive back, I like the way they defensive backs play. I like the way Louisville defensive backs play. So I do think it's going to be a good matchup with the
I hate Louisville. Like, Louisville as a team. I mean, like, as a team, they seem like, they seem like every time we play them, it always seemed like they really, 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 it's more than even Miami they get up for. You know what I mean? Like, they really get up for playing.
You got to remember Louisville, one of them places that routinely recruits Florida really hard.
Like, they you got a whole bunch of those Florida boys who want to come back. Like, I kept trying to figure out why it seems so disrespectful. You know what I mean? Like, like every time we played Louisville, it always felt personal.
I mean,
you know what I mean? I kept trying to figure out.
Come from Florida.
That's right. That's
Think about it, bro. They recruit Florida really hard. And you know who else works for Louisville right now? Cool. Hofer works for Louisville. So they're recruiting Florida hard right now again.
And see, and that's what I'm saying, right? Like, I'm wondering, is that, man? Because, again, they do – you're right. They do get a lot of Florida guys. And so I'm really looking at it like, dang, I wonder – like, you know what I mean? Why is it always every time we play Louisville, it's got to be like a fight almost, you know what I mean? Somebody getting ejected for targeting, somebody getting, you know what I mean, getting injured for the season. Like, it always feel, you know what I mean? Every game is always something, you know, it's always something wild. So, I guess that was my thing. Like, I really, it made me kind of not like Louisville as a team. I wanted to win this game, even more so than LSU. You know what I mean? For me, I had this game circled way more than I had the LSU game circled.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, what's the ramifications of the game? Win, lose, or draw? How do you feel? If they win the game, what do you think? If they lose the game, what do you think?
They win the game, they're going to be 4-0, right? And to say that Florida, this team was going to be 4-0 to start the season, I think you can kind of look and say, well, shit, who can't they beat?
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think it sends a very positive outlook on where this season is headed. Because now you're saying, they beat Boston College. Sam Hartman, you know, is a good quarterback, but we also could put up some points, and that's something we couldn't do last year.
Right.
So I'm saying if we can keep him to 30, we can get to 35-40. And so you then start, you know what I mean, reanalyzing the schedule, and then you say, all right, well, have Clemson made the quarterback change by then? Because they're going to make a quarterback change. Has Clemson made a quarterback change by then? Because if no, if Jimbo, if, you know what I mean, not Jimbo, Dabo still kind of sitting stubborn or whatever it is, he gonna play ukulele.
Well, okay. If he don't make the quarterback change by Wake Forest, he's probably not going to make the quarterback change.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So right. If we, you telling me we getting that dude as quarterback, I'm saying, okay, we can beat Clemson. Clemson has a, Clemson is a lot like LSU. You know what I mean? In the building, how they want to play. So now I'm saying, you know what I mean? And so I think winning this game changes your outlook on just about every game of the season. You know what I mean? Because now you say, okay, these guys handle success well. They playing with a lot of confidence. The team gets behind them. Every, you know what I mean? Like, it's something about winning that, again, cures all. It brings the locker room together. And so for this team to get to 3-0, it's saying they're taking a step in a positive direction. And I think now you're looking at them saying, well, can they be 4-0? Can they be 5-0? And then at this point, you're like, all right, well, going to the Clemson game, you're talking about a college game day game.
Right.
Because then
right.
Florida State will be ranked. And now you're saying, you know, nobody can argue whether, you know, what Florida State is at that point.
Well, I would think if you – I would think if you win the game, you should get game day for the Wake Forest game. I mean, you should.
What Wake Forest rank?
I don't know. I think they're about 14 to 15.
Yeah. You got Sam Harden. You
especially
have Merchant.
Especially if they beat Clemson.
Yeah.
Which I think they got a chance to beat Clemson.
But oh, they beat Clemson. It's yeah, you're definitely right. Right. Both teams undefeated. Yeah. Everybody be ranked. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I guess what do you mean to the outlook, right? If they win this game,
well, you're gonna beat Boston College. They have no offensive linemen. They look like 2019 FSU with them offensive linemen. It's a jumbled mess. So you should beat Boston College. I thought that was gonna be a loss early in the season. If not, you're gonna beat them. I think you go 1-1 versus that
Wake Forest
Clemson situation. Mm-hmm. Depending on how Miami shake out. I got to see what Miami's like later on in the season because I think Miami's defense is going to get better as the season go on, right?
I want to see what they look like Saturday.
Well, I mean, we don't – I, as much as everybody hate Jimbo, I think Jimbo circled that game and got something waiting on Miami, you know.
I said the same thing. This is usually the time where Jimbo usually has a game waiting for you to get you, like, oh, shit, everybody lost hope in me. Let me beat somebody ass real quick. You know what I mean? Yeah, this is the game you hold out. Yeah, he throw out all the stops. Man, you know what? I need to quiet the storm. Let me go beat Miami by 30. Yeah. That'll calm the storm
this
down.
This could be one of those type of games now.
Yeah, it feels like a Jimbo, don't it?
Now, I will say this. If Miami go out there and beat the shit out of Jimbo, then that's going to change my outlook on Miami also.
100%.
Right. So, well, we'll see about that. All right.
Yeah.
So overall, I would look at it like you're probably, if you win this game, you're probably going to hit 8 wins pretty easily. You should, easily. Knock 8 wins down. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you got to beat 2 to 3 teams that you're probably not supposed to beat, but you should be able to beat them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that should put you at about 9 wins going into a bowl game. You have a chance to win 10 games in a season. So that'd be impressive, actually.
No,
that would be impressive, right? Because that means you telling me you flipped from 5 wins to 10, right?
In a season,
I would say that's a good job.
They said it couldn't be done.
I would call that a good job, even though they said it's impossible to do that in year 3. But you know, here we are. Everybody's hoping all of a sudden.
We climbing, man. Nobody said the climb would be easy. See, that's the thing about it. Like, again, when you climb, like, you done been on the – I mean, I ain't never been on the rocks, but I seen some movies, and I've seen some people on TV. You know what I mean? When they climbing, you know, it'd be rough sometimes. Matter of fact, we watched them climb the wall on what it was. They called the ice wall on Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? It was tough. Sometimes rocks came and hit Jon Snow right in the face. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be like that. Yeah, so, you know, sometimes you got to get hit in the face during the climb.
Yeah. But I'm going to get to some of these comments that y'all make. I'm going to start starting right now.
All right.
I'm going to start starting right now. But, yeah, I think then you can get almost – you can look at a 10-win season. And, you know, 10 wins, I think that's very impressive.
What's the recruiting class look like?
I think he's still recruited the same level, 17.
What? See, that's what I disagree with that. I just can't see Florida State with a 10-win team recruiting a 17. Like, right. the problem is if what you're saying is in fact true, how do you sell? Like, I don't know how I can celebrate the 10 wins. You get what I'm saying? Because what you're saying is like, I don't even know what it says. That's the funny thing about it. Because like, is he the coach who takes those 3 stars and makes them into like superstars or whatever? Like, are we the new You know what I mean? Do we feel it? We keep filling in the hole with the portal players. It's like Mike, the portal whisperer. So he already got his defense in for next year, already secured. He got him a quarter. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't know what to make of Florida State getting 10 wins and then somehow only being able to get a 15 to 17 ranked class. Like, it's that would be unheard of as a Florida State coach, and it'd be just as bad as going 6-6 in my opinion.
You know, I don't want to get into that full conversation because that's going to be a long conversation. But I think that you have to just realistically look at the team and look at how they're recruiting and look at who they targeted for, right? I think
you get in some doors with some people with a different conversation.
We'll see.
I think you're able to get in doors with a different conversation.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think? And it's funny, right?
He doesn't have nothing to sell right now.
It's hard for me to talk to you about some of this stuff because, you know, you get a little emotional about some of these teams because you don't like these teams. You get upset about these teams, right?
What team are you going to tell? It depends on the team you tell me.
You think he's going to out-recruit Florida if they win 6 games?
See, you be asking me these trick questions.
I'm asking you. I'm saying if
but you
if
know I don't really like to give like Florida
that.
Credit.
That's what I'm saying. I know.
No,
you
he will not. The answer is no, right? Like that's the correct answer.
But deep down inside,
which is tough to say.
But deep down
that's
inside,
what I'm saying. No, yeah, Florida. He will not out recruit Billy Napier and staff. I mean, so, based on the fact that he currently isn't out recruiting Billy Napier with far less time.
So if Mario had,
he's not gonna out recruit Mario.
Okay. So I mean.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's not going to out-recruit Florida and Miami.
But that's a huge
doesn't necessarily mean he going out. Like, what if Florida end up with the number 4 class?
But
Miami end up with the number 5
but
class.
We know they're not going to do that.
And we end up with like the number 8.
They're not going to do that though.
We're still behind Florida and Miami, but you're still 8.
Yeah, you're not going to do that.
I know it, dog.
They're not going to get Florida and Miami's not going to recruit a top 7 class. It's not just not gonna happen.
I know it. Right. So they're gonna probably recruit 10 to 12, which
so they mean
they're
gonna be recruiting
15.
The same pool that you're recruiting in. They're gonna be in
correct.
Your pool recruiting. So they're gonna out recruit you in your pool.
Better be Miami and Florida.
Cause you
then
know,
he better be Miami and Florida.
Because you know where USC, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, of course. You kind of know what pool those guys kind of all in the same pool.
Mm-hmm.
USC, those guys all in the same pool. That's like 7-8 classes right there. You know, then you get into some of the other schools, North Carolina. Can you out recruit North Carolina? Sure you can, right? But you can't go out and get the best player in North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? Like you're not at that point.
Yeah, you can get.
You see what I'm saying? You're not at that point where you can go in the DMV area and grab 3 of the top 10 players.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's you got to just look at the recruiting foothold. You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at it. So. I think you still get a 15 class, 15 to 17. You know what I'm saying? It just is what it is. They back in the portal swimming again. And we'll see what happens in 24, which I got an opinion on 24, but I'm going to hold it to the after the season because I'm positive right now. And I think we can win 10 games. I think they got a shot to get 10 games plus a bowl. And that'll be, to me, that'll be huge. That sends a message that Florida State, under the right leadership, can win at the highest level, can get right back. That's a good thing.
And I don't want to necessarily get into it, and this will be a conversation for after the season. Him getting 10 wins, the expectations for next year ain't 8. See, and that's the thing that I think that's interesting about it, right? If you tell me you're getting 10 wins with the recruiting class they got, even if they improve marginally with the recruiting and portal, you're now saying the expectation next year is 10 wins.
Right.
Like, Florida State, they're going to be like, oh, it's okay, you got 7.
Yeah.
No, they're going to be like, wait, no. Like, we go 7 to championship, to playoffs. We're not going 7 back to, you know what I mean? We're
not going
7.
You're not going 10 back to 7, yeah.
No, we're not going 10 back to 7. So, again, I hope he gets 10, but understand that next season comes with the, you know, all right, I'm going in. My minimum will be 10 again.
Right.
Yeah. You ask me where we win 10 this year, my minimum next year will be, well, I think we get 10 wins again.
Right,
because you don't go back to the 8.
Yeah, but I think you have to kind of realistically look at it and say, well, at that point you have to look at him and say, how is he recruiting at 24? Right, like if you're looking at a top 10 class in 24, if you win 7, you're not going. I mean, you're going to feel a certain kind of way, but if it's a top 10 class, you think you're going to secure a top 10, top 9?
Yeah, but the top 10, but the top 10 classes, the top 10 class won't produce until like what? A year or two after that. So now you're talking about yeah. You know what I mean? Like how many like well, this a
is
year
the purgatory. This is the purgatory that you sit in. But until you raise the level of recruiting, this is the purgatory that you sit in. You sit in from big seasons being 10 back to 7, 8, 10, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's kind of where you at until your recruiting subsides. You know what I'm saying? Or better yet, if the ACC keep coming back to you, right, if Wake Forest, they lose a lot of players after this year, they step back to you a little bit more. NC State lose a lot of players. They step back to you a little bit more.
Then you can follow up with 10. Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying, right? So, because the ACC is not good. I mean, people keep saying, I don't think it's that bad. So, oh, no, it's pretty bad. Like, when Syracuse.
Did you see opening weekend?
When Syracuse might actually be like a top 3 team in your conference, it's bad. Like, that's not good. That's not a good sign.
Fam, you was running the score on North Carolina.
North Carolina can't stop a nosebleed. Like, they can't stop anybody. Yeah. They can't stop me. Guys, if I put an I-9 team together right now, they would run deep posts on them.
Yeah, no, we got problems. Yeah, no, the conference as a whole is not very good. And that's, again, so good. This is the perfect year to be good.
It's not two Final Four teams in this conference. Yeah.
Clemson got all sorts of issues, quarterback issues. You got a new coaching staff. Play calling look bad. Yeah, no, you're talking about Clemson has lost a lot. If there's ever a year that FSU should beat Clemson, this is it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, this is it. Even if they change the quarterback, you're still talking about a freshman. Somebody who ain't never played. Give me the mods. I don't care how good you think he is. He ain't Trevor Lawrence good.
Give me
those odds. You know what I mean? They ain't replacing ukulele with Trevor Lawrence. You know what I'm saying?
And the bigger problem with Clemson is they don't have the wide receivers.
And it's funny. T-Wee told me about it. T-Wee was like, listen to me. Trevor Lawrence was good. We were talking about the Jaguars. He was like, listen, Trevor Lawrence was good. But understand who he was throwing to at Clemson. They made a lot of them passes that weren't nearly as good of balls look catchable because they were 6'7", you know what I mean? They were 6'7" and crazy athletic. Right. He say, what do they have those now? They ain't got them. They got a good receiver group. They recruited well. They don't have T. Higgins.
Well, they don't have a bona fide first rounder, high second round draft pick there.
Right. And that's what they've had before.
He's not there.
And they don't have a first round of number one pick quarterback.
Yeah.
It changes a lot.
So guess what? You're not too far away from them. So, you know, that's why I keep trying to tell, this is why I have a hard time getting the conversation with people because people don't understand nuance, right? It's different when you play on a team that's a Final Four team.
Mm-hmm.
You got two Final Four teams on your schedule. That's a different schedule. This schedule don't have that.
Nah.
You got a down Florida team. They're going to have problems this year. They're going to win 6 or 7 games if they're lucky, right? You can beat that team. You should beat that team, right?
I ain't even going
to
get on the
floor. I'm just saying, you should be able to beat that team.
We should have beat that team last year.
Exactly. So this is why when you have these conversations with people and they try to lower what's going on at FSU, and you say, realistically, you can look at the schedule, look at who you play, look at the players that's on these teams and say, we should be able to win 7 easy, 8 easy.
Yep.
We should push for 9 and 10, right?
Yeah.
It's year 3.
It starts with winning these type of games.
But it starts with go out and beat Louisville because you can beat Louisville. You're better than Louisville at every position.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? I think Malik Cunningham and Jordan is about a wash. I think they pretty similar quarterbacks, right? Jordan might be a little bit more accurate throwing the football than what Malik is, but they're not much different, right? But other than that, you're about the same. Go out and win the game, right? Fitzgerald, don't kick the ball out of bounds 5 times, right?
Jesus.
Feel your punts. Mike, in the first half, you at the 10-yard line, they stop you, go ahead and
kick
your field goal. It's going to be
all
right. They're not going to run away from you just because you kick a field goal. You're going to still be in the game. Relax. You ain't got to chase points early.
Yeah. Right?
So you're the better team, and you're going to be pretty much the better team in the rest of these games other than probably 3, which is Wake Forest, NC State, Clemson. Mm-hmm. Other than that, down the stretch, you should be the better team. You don't have to coach like a jackass, right? You can coach. You You're coaching from leverage now. You know what I'm saying? So
he don't know how to coach as a winner. Like, you don't have to do no trick plays. You can just run the football. Yeah, man.
So let's just get down to the basis of winning a football game, carrying out a game plan, executing the game plan. Don't start this Wonderman magic shit. You know what I'm saying? So I feel good about the season as a whole. Too. Right? So this is about the coaches getting the team ready, getting them prepared, executing the game plan because they're the better team.
No cute shit.
Yeah, you don't have to do all this crazy.
That's all. Yeah, I'm asking you for no. Now, don't get down on the goal line, do nothing wild. Don't decide you're gonna do. No, man, just run the plays that you normally run. Give you a little, you know what I mean? Just run the plays. The same ones that always work. That worked all the way down the field. Keep running them. Don't get to the goal line and decide you're gonna do some little, skippy do thing.
To some of these, Sam. My season position 9-3, 10-3 with the bowl win. I think you're going to be spot on, Mike. I think you're going to be spot on with that, Mike. I think so.
Same.
Let me see here. Miami, Syracuse, Clemson, NC State, UF. If you can go 3-2 versus that team, those teams, I agree. And quite frankly, I think you should beat Syracuse.
I definitely think you should beat Syracuse. Like, I hear what Syracuse is or whatever it is and all sorts of stuff. You should beat Syracuse.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think you have a better team than Syracuse.
I do think you're gonna be ranked after the Louisville game.
I agree.
I think you.
I think everybody. I think the people who are rating are waiting for this game as well. Right. I think they looked at LSU and said, "We saw some good things. Let's see what they do against Louisville. Let's see how they handle this." I think like us, they're kind of like right on the edge, but I don't think they jump in and go to like 25. I think they jump in and go to like maybe like 16. If nothing else, like you said, they're setting up for the game day game. You know what I mean?
Right.
For Wake Forest.
Yeah, this is all about TV ratings. So put a nomination to a name.
You tell me 16 versus 12 or whatever it is. Yeah. That rate, that scale's a little high. So I do think, like, if we do get back in, I do think we do get back in, and I think we kind of go pretty high.
So this says FSU is different on Norvell. He likes blue collar players. You know, it's weird. I don't know what that ever means. Does that mean I like somebody that won't challenge me as a coach? Because that's what I take it as when I hear stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? That's how I take it.
I ain't even gonna tell you how I take it.
But I just don't like when people say that. People are like, oh man, we got to get some guys here that just want to work hard. I be like,
I take it like you want a bunch of hungry three stars, and I keep trying to explain to y'all those hungry three stars will win eventually, sometime. Like now, understand how I put that? They will win eventually, sometimes.
Yeah.
Those five stars don't miss. Like. Go look up the five stars. Most of them go right on to the NFL. They go to your program. They good from the day they step on the campus. They dominate from the time they leave for 3 years. And they get their ass to the NFL where they get checks.
Yeah.
I don't mind you surrounding some of these dope five-star guys with some of them scrappy three stars. But give me a whole lot of them five stars. Because you know who got a lot of them five stars? Alabama.
Yeah.
They win.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? Like, they win.
Talk about what we need from the linebacker. We talked about this already. We need the defensive line to stay in front of Malik Cunningham and allow the linebackers to clean up,
Mm-hmm.
If they're rushing past him, creating angles where those linebackers can't get to the edge, it's going to be a problem. That's why I said – if it's me, I'm going to have very little tolerance for people running out of their gap and getting so far out the field and running past them.
Yep.
So if I see it personally, if I'm the defensive coordinator, defensive line coach, and I see it, I got to pull you out the game immediately, and we got to have a conversation. You know what I'm saying? I can't have it. I just can't have
it. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Like, it would be very early because, like I said, I repeat. We've discussed this now for 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, we don't talk about this for 2 weeks. From the time that game ended, it was, hey, guys, Jared, I know you like to get around the corner. You like getting around the edge. But nope, this ain't the day for that.
Mm-hmm.
You will leave a space. You're going to expose your linebackers and put them in poor position. We need you to just push up the field. Yeah. Just keep pushing.
Keep your outside arm free.
So that way he continues, has to bowl that route, and next thing you know, now your linebacker can come and clean up, or he making a crazy throw, which sets up for our DBs to be able to make plays. He will throw the ball to the other team. So force him to do that. But I think it starts with
being able to push him. Syracuse in the dome. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. All the games going to be tough. That's why you got to coach. Coach, win the game. They're not talented. They're not
I never are. Thought I'd hear the word Syracuse in the dome. It's supposed to be like, exactly. We're supposed to be like, oh my God, Syracuse in the dome. It says,
we'll fully embarrass us in front of the Hoes.
That's you right.
Very possible. It's very possible that he can embarrass us in front of the Hoes. It's possible.
No, man. Fuller, this is going to be the game we're going to talk about. Fuller being able to turn it around. They're going to play some good zone. People going to stay in their gaps. It's a, you know what I mean? It's going to be 31-10. It's going to be, we're going to all celebrate.
Yeah. I don't think our running backs do that triple 100-yard game again.
I was gonna say I was trying to figure out who else on the schedule.
They play the Raging Cajuns.
Yes, they'll do it against the Raging Cajuns.
They won't do it against the Raging Cajuns.
Okay, well they won't do it again. Like you just like there was a reason why like that made this stuff. It was on Sports Center, it was stats, all sorts of stuff. Because it's very difficult to have three guys go for 100 yards.
I don't think people realize what lower like Duke is a really low level of football.
It really is, yeah. Yeah, I thought maybe we had another Duke on the schedule, something like a Cook. Nah, like we ain't got a Miami schedule. Got like Cookman and
remember the Raging Cajuns. The Raging Cajuns are playing the Sun Belt. Sun Belt don't bullshit, as we seen this weekend.
Somebody go out there and get you some work. Yeah, you can go get that work if you ain't prepared.
Yeah, it's being a game fucking around the Sun Belt if you ain't ready to go. You know what I'm saying?
So. Hey, you scratch your head having to ask some questions you ain't planning on having to answer.
I walk with Coach Novell. He is building something. He building something. What he is? He building something. What?
I didn't even know what to say. Mike, I apologize.
He building something.
I agree with you. Mike is building something. He building something. I'm with that. You know what, Mike? You're right. I rock with Mike Novell. He building something.
He building something.
Now. At this point, we're not sure what it is he's building. Like, it could be a Dairy Queen, but maybe it's a Chick-fil-A. We don't really know yet what it could be, but he's building something. You're right, Mike.
He's building something. I like that. You know what? I'm going to make that my Twitter post. He's building something.
It's about the most blanket compliment you could give a guy. He built something. I think matter of fact, we can all agree on that. You know what I mean? It was like Obama's message. You know what I mean? Hope and change. Man, we can all hope for some things.
Would I go basic dime? If I wouldn't do, I guess the dime a little different. I'll probably put somebody like, you know what? This would have been a perfect game for Gainer on the edge with Deloach.
This ain't the perfect game to do shit. Don't be experimenting out here. Go play, man. We ain't that good to be out here. No, this ain't the perfect game for no. No, this is the perfect game to do the same thing you did against LSU or get, but do it a little better. You know what I mean? No, don't go switching nothing up, man.
You can go big safety to get
the game. You can do a whole lot of things. I'm saying don't do nothing. Do what we've been doing and try to do it a little better than we did it the week before. Don't go experiment with no games. That's how that get Mike in trouble. All of a sudden, we be like, wait, why we got three tight ends? Where all these tight ends came from? Next thing you know, we can't get no pass off, don't look fluid no more. And we was like, well, what made him use he wasted the whole first quarter with this tight end bullshit? And you'd be like, No, this ain't the game to do nothing. Do what we've been doing. Let Atkins and Norvell, let that brain trust continue to cook up that good stew. Let's rack up, a bunch of yards, and let's get out here with a win, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess we almost at an hour. What you got to score at, man?
Okay. I see 28-24.
Mm. FSU. All right. I got 42-38 FSU.
Ooh. Well, it's blazing up the field.
I want to see it. I want to see what it look like. First of all, I think Florida State can't score a lot of points. I do think you get some big runs. I think you get a pick six, something like that. You know what I mean? Like, so I think we're going to get, maybe some short fields or whatever it is. I do think we put up a lot of points. I think we score and score pretty easily. But what I will say is that I'm not sure how well we can stop Cunningham. I think Cunningham is, again, styles make fights. They give us, they give us some trouble. And so I'm hoping we can kind of overcome some of those things.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna right. Yeah, Atkins gonna keep Mike in check. Keep Mike out of his own way. You know what I mean?
Good job.
Like, what's that dude who grabbed the coach? What's that team who grabbed the coach belt to pull him back? You know what I mean? To get back.
Yeah, the guy.
Yeah. Like that's kind of Atkins. You know what I mean? Atkins is the pullback guy for Mike. Hey, Mike, what you got going on here, man? Come on back here.
Yeah.
No, let's run the football here. We ain't got to do that. Yeah, we ain't got to do that. Let's just run the football.
35-21.
Yeah, I do think we get above 35, though. I said, you know, I think we get above 35. Yeah.
Hey, I ain't going to lie, dude. I really wish Florida State played at 12 o'clock every day. Yeah, I don't mind these Friday games no more. Because it give me a chance to watch all the other games on Saturday.
I told you. I know when you first said it, everybody was like, oh, Friday. What about high school? And I was like, man, I missed this high school week. I'm going to watch Florida State play, and then that frees up my Saturday. If I don't want to watch another football game that day, I can go chill. You know what I mean? That's the day I can make up some stuff, you know what I mean, with my girl because I don't mess up in the week. Nah, man, play on Fridays. I'm good. Yeah, play on Fridays.
But anyway, hey, appreciate that, Aunt Davis. Podcast.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. While y'all here, we appreciate you guys. Make sure y'all subscribe. Make sure you share it. You got it on YouTube or got it on Twitter, whatever. Make sure you share it. Make sure you subscribe on Apple. Subscribe.
Hunter still has a question if you want to answer real quick.
Another thing is, I appreciate you guys listening to Sword What's Next. That podcast did really good last week. Really, really good.
Hey, man, the channel going up, man. Channel going up. Yeah. T Will 38-31. You a lot like me. You think it's gonna be some points. Well, let me see what Hunter said real quick. We can get off.
What? Right, that's when they end up changing everything around after that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I don't know where you came in, Hunter, but yeah, we talked about it. Just the fact that we have two linebackers who can, you know, get sideline to sideline helps a whole lot when you're playing Cunningham. Yeah. They're better in that front group. Hopefully,
we know. Cracking Caramari.
Calamari, dog. Calamari.
We know why you listening.
right. Yeah. No. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's a given.
That's the pod.
Yeah, but Hunter, yeah, go back and listen, man. Go back and listen to the beginning. We talked about the defense first and then got on the offense, man. Go back and check it out. But, yeah, man, appreciate y'all listening to the pod, man. If you have not subscribed, hit the subscribe button. Double check. Make sure. And, man, hey, go Noles. Let's get this win. 3-0 pod. Oh, call-in show. We're going to be back here, right? Call-in show after the game?
Yeah, I'll be here Friday.
Yeah, we'll be right here after the game, man. Call-in show. I'm going to be a lot more drunk than
y'all,
I am right
y'all,
now.
I'm going to put the link in the bio. Y'all come through. It's gonna be fire.
Yep. All right, y'all. We out. You deserve to listen up.
Sexy.